The book of Ruth. We are doing a series on the book of Ruth on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. This will be part number 3. There are 8 total parts. And we started last Sunday night, and then we covered Wednesday as well. And we are covering Jesus as our successor. Jesus as our successor. And we're going to see by the end of all of this that God saved an old woman like Ruth. It was a Moabitess who was from a wicked land, and God saved her. But God also put her in the lineage of David, and God put her in the lineage of Christ. And that's what's meant by this title, Jesus our successor. And here she was put in the very lineage of Jesus Christ because of her testimony. We'll get to that here, in the next several weeks. Ruth chapter number 1, stand with me when you get there. Ruth chapter number 1. Again, this is part number 3. We are going to wrap up the first chapter, which is the first point of the main outline. Our relationship is found in Christ. And we've dealt with relationships all through chapter number 1. And we dealt very primarily, especially last Sunday, dealt primarily with the home and what God expects of the Christian home. We dabbled a little bit more into the home, but we focused very importantly on Wednesday night about the journey back to God and the return back to the house of God and getting right with God. We discussed that. We gave a connection of a Lot, because I used Lot in Abram as an illustration on several occasions, both Sunday night and Wednesday night. But then we also tied in the connection that Lot has to Ruth because of his wickedness, because of his incestuous relationship with his daughter. He was a father of the Moabites, which is exactly where Ruth was born, there in Moab. And so we discussed all of that, and we tied Scripture together with Scripture, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so here let's look at verse number 16. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, this is when Naomi saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. She meant, simply meaning she wasn't going to change her mind. Verse 19, so they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Lord, help us as we break down this passage, and we look very closely at these relationships that we've been discussing already. And most importantly of our relationships that we have is our relationship with you. And Lord, we're going to see the beginning of Ruth's redemption here. And we're going to see the pathway that she takes to draw close to you. And as we discuss divine appointments on regular occasions, it's amazing to watch how you put all the pieces together for our salvation. And you laid everything out for us to be in the right place, for your Holy Spirit to convict us. And we're going to see that in the life of Ruth here tonight, as you're going to lay everything out for her. And then in the very next chapter, we're going to see that redemption take place. Use us, guide us, teach us from your word. We ask these things in your name and pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. We've been discussing in chapter number 1 several different aspects. Just by way of review, I'll give you a little bit of the main points that we covered. I'm not going to re-preach both messages. But we've covered this last two services in chapter number 1 dealing with the family of Elimelech leaving the house of bread, Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to they left the promised land and went to a pagan land, and they left the will of God and went and pursued their own way. And then we referred to the fact that they died there while they were there in the land. Elimelech died, Mahlon and Chilion died, and here Naomi is left with her daughter-in-laws. And then Wednesday night we discussed the fact that she was pressing her daughter-in-laws to stay there, and so she was going to make the return back to Bethlehem. She was going to go back to the place where God intended for her to be in the first place. She had heard that there was bread in the land, and she had decided, hey, there's a blessing that's over there. I'm going to leave this pagan land. I'm going to leave the polluted land, and I'm going to go back to the promised land. I'm going to go back to the place that God intended for me to be in the beginning, and I'm going to go back there. And here she had to leave some baggage, and that was her daughter-in-law's. And she chose to tell them to stay there. Orpah took her up on that. She said she wasn't going to have anything to do with the fact that God had judged her the way that she had. And there's going to be some times in your Christian life when you begin to follow after God, other people are going to shed themselves off of you because they cannot handle how God is working in your life. It's just evident. It's going to happen in your Christian life. But then there are going to be others like Ruth who are going to cleave unto you. And they're going to cleave unto somebody who is following after God. And listen to me, young people. The best thing that you can do in your Christian life, you can find somebody in your life that's walking with God, and you keep yourself on their hip, and you stay close to them as they're walking with God, and you follow after the pattern that they're given. You follow after the example that they're giving you, and they're not going to lead you astray, but rather they're going to lead you into a closer relationship with God. I remember as a teenager, there were several times where I drifted and I strayed away from the will of God. And the vast majority of times when I was straying away from the will of God, the vast majority of the times was because of the friends that I had and the people I was hanging around with. They were causing me to drift from walking with God. They were influencing me. Now, ultimately, I understand, ultimately, I had to make the decision to do the things that I did. But I was following the influence of those that were around me. But then I noticed also in my life, as I drew close to God, it was because I was surrounded myself with people that were doing the very same thing. They were drawing close to God, and they were returning back to God, and they were pursuing God with their life. And that's exactly what we see out of Ruth here in this passage. And we discussed that on Wednesday night there in verse number 14. But Ruth clave unto her, and she told her that she was going to follow after her. Now, we're going to discuss three aspects here. After they begin the return back to Bethlehem, we're going to see three things. And this week we're going to discuss the reformation that takes place in your life when you begin to draw close to God. We're going to discuss the reception that takes place when you get back to the place of God. And then we're going to discuss the resources that God has for you as well. So go back to verse number 16. Let me show you here our reformation. I want you to notice first and foremost in verse number 16, the steadfast dedication of a woman. Here we're going to see the steadfast dedication of Ruth. What does she say to Naomi? Here, Naomi is trying to get her to stay here in Moab. Naomi is trying to get her to go back to her false gods that she had served before. But Ruth remembered from the time that she was married to one of Naomi's sons. She remembered the godly home that she was in. She remembered how he had drawn close to God, and she desired that for her life. And so she said, I'm going to cleave to you. I'm going to follow after you as you follow after God. And what does she say in verse 16? She said, entreat me not to leave you. She's literally saying, listen, don't beg me to leave you. I'm going to stay right here. Don't tell me to leave your side. You're going somewhere where I want to go. I don't want to stay in a pagan land. I want to go to the promised land. I want to get the blessings of God in my life. I want to pursue a relationship with God. Don't beg me to leave you, but rather take me to that close relationship with God. And here we see she says, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. She said, you're going to go. I want to go with you. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. I'll stay there. Doesn't matter how hard it is. It doesn't matter how difficult it is. You're pursuing after God, and that's the relationship that I want to have in my life. We see that Ruth is making a change. There's a dedication that she has. There's a reformation that is beginning in her life. By the way, before there's a regeneration for salvation, usually there's a reformation that's desired in your life. Before we ever get saved, we have to realize our need for salvation, right? And many times when we realize the need for salvation, what do we begin to do? We begin to attend church.
We begin to pursue the Word of God. We begin to read in the Bible. We begin to spend some time in prayer. We begin to ask questions about what God is doing in our hearts and our lives, because we don't always understand how God is working. Because before we got saved, we're a natural man. And a natural man understands not the things of the Spirit. It's what the Bible says. We covered that this morning. And so as a natural man, what are we doing? We're pursuing after God. We're trying to reform. Listen, there's a lot of people who go to church and they try to reform and they try to make all these changes. Even alcoholics, when they go through the 12-step program, they believe in a higher power. They believe in looking to something that is a higher power than themselves and keeping themselves accountable to something. And so even the world teaches reformation. But again, if there's no regeneration, then God's not the one that's doing the working in our lives. Here, Ruth, God is beginning to shape some things in her lives. In her life, God is beginning to work in her life. And as He's beginning to shape and mold certain things in her life, she's beginning to reform. She's beginning to see the need for change in her life. And many times before God ever saved you, you saw your need. And you saw the need for church. There's an old song about, I don't even remember the title of it right now, it escapes me. There's an old song that references the fact of finding the Lord. And I heard a preacher make this statement some time ago. It's not us that finds the Lord, because He was never lost. It's the Lord that finds us. And God found us in the miry pit. God found us in the miry clay. God found us in a place where nobody else wanted to go. And Jesus Christ came and He sacrificed Himself for us. And we understand that long before we ever trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit of God was beginning to work in our lives. The Holy Spirit of God was wooing us towards Him. And the Holy Spirit of God was making sure that He worked things out in our lives for us to be in the house of God, to be in the presence of the preaching of the Word of God. Why? So the conviction could begin to set in our hearts and in our lives. So God can do the work that He needed to do. Here we see the steadfast dedication of a woman. Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee." I want you to notice here that she commits to a new land. She says, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee." She says, "I don't want what's in the land of Moab anymore. You told me of the blessings that were in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. And you told me how God had provided bread for His people. And we have here problems in our land. And we have paganism in our land. And we have pollution here in our land. I want what you're heading after." She said, she commits herself to a new land. She is willing and she is ready to leave everything that she once knew and go to a place that she's never been, because she's trusting in the testimony of someone else. By the way, is that not what you did when you first attended church? You trusted the testimony of someone else. Somebody invited you to church. You're like, "I don't know these people. I don't know this person. But they've invited me to come. I'm going to come because they're not going to stop inviting me and they're going to keep annoying me about it." Amen. And they come to church. And what happens? God begins to work in our lives. God begins to use us. God begins to work some things out. You see, the reformation takes place because you commit yourself to a new opportunity. Here, she committed herself to a new land. I want you to notice also, she committed herself to a new leadership. Notice what she says. She says, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee." Ruth here makes a statement. She says, "I've chosen who I'm going to follow after. I'm not going to follow after the gods that I was following after before. I'm not going to follow after the pagan rituals that I followed after before, because they've done nothing for me in my life. And I've chosen to follow after your leadership." Now listen, Naomi was not the spitting example of what a Christian ought to be. Okay? During this time, Naomi was bitter. During this time, Naomi was discouraged. During this time, Naomi was distressed. She was downhearted and she was depressed. She was not where she needed to be spiritually. But she made a decision to head toward God. And Ruth saw that, and Ruth wanted that in her life. And she says, don't ask me to leave you, because I'm going to follow after you. I don't know exactly where you're going, but I know where you're going is going to change your life and it's going to change mine as well. And I'm going to commit myself to that. Here she committed herself to a new leadership. She was willing to leave her land and to go where Naomi was going. Notice, she also commits herself to a new lifestyle. She says, "Whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge." She says, wherever you're going to live, that's where I'm going to live as well. I'm going to surrender my will to yours. By the way, is that not what you did when you began to follow Christ? You submitted your will to God's will. You began to give yourself over to a new lifestyle. Again, before salvation takes place, there's a lot of people who try to reform in Christianity without ever being converted, without ever being regenerated. There's a lot of people who try to change certain things in their lives, and they try to do better, all to simply find out that if they don't have the Spirit of God in their lives, the struggle is going to be very, very real in their lives. And they're not going to be able to keep those commitments. And we wonder oftentimes why so many people, they start out good in church, but then they end up drifting away from God and they fall out of church completely. It may be because all they did was reform and they never truly got right with God. Here she says, whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. I'm willing to go and pay the price. I'm willing to change my lifestyle. I'm willing to change my living habits. By the way, when you trusted Christ, you began to follow after Christ, you ought to be willing to change your living habits, because God loved you enough to save you, but He loves you too much to leave you the way that He found you. Here, she commits to a new lifestyle. She also commits to a new lineage. Notice, she says, thy people shall be my God, shall be my people. Thy people shall be my people. She commits to a new lineage. She says, I remember where I was raised. I remember where I grew up. And I remember the town that I was in. But listen, I'm not going to stay living the way that my family raised me. I'm going to stay living the way that my family is continuing to live. That is not going to do anything for me spiritually. She says, I'm willing to change my lineage. I'm willing to forsake everyone that I may have always known because I want to pursue after God. Listen, nobody ever said the road to follow God was going to be easy. Nobody ever said it was going to be easy. And there's going to be some times where you're going to have to forsake some people in your life to pursue after God. It's not a fun process, and it's nothing that anyone looks forward to. But as you walk with God, one of the things I've come to find, and I've shared this testimony before already, Brother Jack Howes used to always say, if you would walk with God, other people would just simply stop walking with you. Because as you walk with God, people are going to make a choice. Do I want that? Do I want the change that God's doing in their life? Or do I want to continue in my sin? And guess what? Most people that are guided by the flesh, they're going to continue in their sin. And they're going to choose sin over the Savior. But here she says she's going to commit to a new lineage. She said, thy people shall be my people. Now let me go ahead and make this statement here. This isn't in the notes, but I feel led to say it. She was not looking down on her own personal family during all of this. She was not, during all of this, saying that her family was unworthy of her presence. Now listen, there's going to be some times where you're following after God and you pursue after God. Sometimes those that are closest to you during that time, aka your family, they're going to come to you and say, what do you think? You're better than us now that you've gotten saved. Now that you're following God, you think you can't come over for Christmas or for family dinners or for all these different activities? You think you're better than us now? That's not what Ruth was doing. And by the way, that's not what you're doing when you pursue God either. There's a lot of family that's going to try to guilt trip you into recanting on serving God and going back to your old lifestyle. Here she doesn't do that. Here she says, thy people shall be my people. See, I'm going to pursue after a relationship with those that we're headed toward. Because listen, if that's where the blessings of God are at, that's where I want to go. And I'm willing to leave and forsake everything. By the way, did not the disciples do that in John chapter number 6? In the book of Matthew, Peter had asked Jesus Christ, he says, we've forsaken everything and we followed after you. When all the multitudes began to turn away from Jesus in John chapter number 6 at the very end of the passage, Jesus turns and looks at his disciples and he says, will ye also go away? Peter speaks up because that's what Peter does. And he says, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. He said, where are we going to go? You've given us everything that we have. You've blessed us in ways beyond what we can imagine. And by the way, there's going to be times where people are going to try to persuade you to quit pursuing after God because they think it's hindering the family dynamics. They want to get together for a holiday on a Sunday and you said, no, it's for me and my house. We'll serve the Lord. We're going to be in church. Amen. And they said, well, you're just taking that religious stuff way too seriously. You're letting that come between you and the family. Don't you know God doesn't want that? They try to bring God into the situation. Isn't that funny? Here, she commits to a new lineage. Next, she commits to a new Lord. She said, thy people should be my people. But then she says, and thy God, my God. Here, she makes a choice. She does not get saved right here, okay? But here she makes a choice. She makes a choice that, hey, I'm going to pursue after your God because your God was good enough to bring you back. Again, remember, she had left the will of God. And Naomi had said the reason things were happening to her in the land of Moab was because of the judgment of God. But she was going to go back to Bethlehem, Judah, because even though God was judging her, Naomi knew that God still loved her and wanted her back. And Ruth recognized, this is far different than the pagans that I have served. This is far different than the idols that I worship. You see, a lot of times in paganism and in pagan religions, the false idols, they teach you that if you begin to pursue other gods and you begin to go against them, that you are cursed by that god and you can never come back to them. They're taught a very hateful type of theology and ideology. Here she commits to a new Lord. She says, thy God shall be my God. And then notice, she also commits to a new limitations. Look at verse 17. She says, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. She says, I'm going to go as far as to say that I'm going to stay faithful to you and to your God until death. That's exactly what she says. But notice the next phrase. This is something that caught me. She said, in the middle of verse 17 and on, the Lord do so to me and more also if aught but death part thee and me. She says here, I'm going to stay faithful to you and to your God until I die. But, let me go ahead and make the statement, is what she says. She says, but if I don't stay faithful to you, if I don't stay faithful to your God, then your God can judge me and take me on out. The Lord do so to me. Is that not what she says? And more also. Meaning, God can kill me right there if I don't stay faithful. Now that's some strong words. That's some strong words. But what does that tell me? That tells me that she was steadfastly dedicated to the new purpose in life. That she was willing to risk everything in her life. She was willing to recant everything that she was taught in the pagan land to go to the promised land. She was willing to change everything about what she knew to be able to pursue after a God that she only saw through the life of Naomi. She didn't know God yet. She had only seen God through Naomi. By the way, we say this regularly, you may be the only Bible some people ever read. The Bible says we are epistles written on the hearts of men. And people will judge Christianity by how you act and how you react to the things of God. They'll judge whether or not they want a part of that. Now listen, God gave some grace in this story because Naomi did not react properly. But Ruth saw that even though God was judging her, she still wanted to pursue after that same God because she knew God loved her. And Ruth wanted that God. Ruth was willing to pursue that God. Here we see the steadfast dedication of a woman, but we also see the solid determination of a woman. Now, verse 18 says, when she saw, Naomi saw that she, Ruth, was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Here's the solid determination of a woman. Naomi was arguing with Ruth at this point. Naomi was going back and forth with Ruth, and Ruth steps up and says, hey, whether thou goest, I will go, and whether thou lodgest, I will lodge, and thy God should be my God, and thy people should be my people. I'm going to pursue after you. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Come hell or high water, I'm going to stay faithful to your God. And then Naomi realized, there's no change in this girl's mind. Listen, when you begin to take a stand for Christ, Other people around you are going to notice your determination. Okay? Other people around you are going to see that you take your God seriously. You see, when you begin to take a stand for Christ and you begin to believe that your walk with God is more important than your walk with man, okay? When your pursuit of a relationship with God is more important than your pursuit of a relationship with anybody else, when you take that stand, other people will take notice. Here, Naomi took notice. And she said, there's no change in this girl's mind. She was, at this point, like Jesus. His face was as a flint towards Jerusalem. There was no change in his mind. He knew his purpose. He knew that he was to pursue the cross of Calvary at that time. The disciples could not deter him from that. Nobody else could stop him from the mission that God had left him here to do. And when you take a bold stand for the things of God, other people around you are going to notice that stand. And other people around you, they may not like it, but they're not going to bother you about it anymore. Here, Naomi, she was bitter. She was upset. And she may not have appreciated the stand that Ruth was taking at that time, but guess what? She never brought it up again. Naomi never tempted her with leaving again. Why? Because Ruth took a stand. Ruth was willing to take a stand. See, in your Christian life, man, there's so much application right here. In your Christian life, when you begin to take a stand for Christ, your family may not always like the stand you take, but they're going to realize that there's no budget in you. They're going to realize that there's a faithfulness and there's a steadfast determination and there's a dedication that you have to your new God. And yeah, they may complain about it, but they're going to know where you stand. There are times in my wife and I's marriage where on my side of the family, we've had this and we've had that, all these different get-togethers. And the vast majority of the time, when my parents or my family would call and ask about something about getting together, they usually started off with a preface. Now, we know you can't do it on this day because of church. They already know, right? They already know. They already know what the answer is going to be. They already know what the response is going to be. So what do? They change their plans to fit and accommodate those different things that we've chosen to put first. See, you put God first in your life, whether you realize it or not, others around you are going to begin to, if they want to keep a relationship, they're going to begin to schedule things around your schedule of God. And guess what? That may actually help them to develop a walk with God. You see, through a lot of those things, I've been able to see an answer to prayer, and family members have been able to attend church again. And God's been working in their lives. You see, this all happens simply because of the determination of Ruth. She says, I'm going to go where you're going. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no change in my mind. I've already made the decision. I'm going to serve your God. And Naomi says, okay. I can't change your mind. This is a solid determination of a woman. She left speaking unto her. So here we see the reformation that takes place in Ruth's life. Now I want you to notice the reception that takes place in Naomi's life. Here's the reception. Now they get back to Bethlehem, Judah. Okay? Now they get back to the place where Naomi had left at the beginning of the chapter. Okay? Again, we've gone through this whole chapter so far. In the first verse, there was a famine in the land, and the family left Bethlehem, Judah, and went to the land of Moab. Okay? Here, there's an argument that takes place between Naomi and Ruth. They're in the land of Moab. And the very next verse, verse number 19, the Bible says, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. Now, I didn't look it up. You can look it up later if you want to be more educated in this area. I didn't look up how long it takes to travel from Moab to Bethlehem. Okay? So I apologize for not having that information. The simple fact is, she traveled from Moab to Bethlehem, and during that journey, the Bible just simply records it as they went on their way. So they went until they came to Bethlehem. And then it says, and it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. Here, when they're coming back into Bethlehem, Judah, this is 10 years later. Okay? Because remember, they were in Moab for 10 years. And the Bible tells us that back, what was it, in verse number 4, dwell there about 10 years. So 10 years they were in Moab. They had made their way back to Bethlehem, Judah. The Bible says that the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? She said unto them, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Here, she makes the whole journey from Moab to Bethlehem, Judah. She gets back to the place where God intended for her to be all along. 10 years later, 10 years wasted in the world. Listen, those 10 years she'll never get back. Okay? Those 10 years she'll never get back. Those 10 years of trials, those 10 years of experiences, those 10 years of wrecking and ruin in her life, she'll never get that back. Children, understand. Teenagers, understand. When you leave the will of God and you pursue after your own desires, you pursue after your own wants, it may be for a short time like the prodigal son, it may be for 10 years like Naomi here, but when you leave the will of God and then you decide to come back to God, you're never going to get that time back. You're never going to get that purity back. You're never going to get that naiveness back or the naivety. You're never going to get the blessings back that you lost when you got out of the will of God. Okay? You're never going to get it back. So don't think that you got to go and sow your wild oats in order to have a testimony. One of the greatest testimonies you have is the fact that you stayed in church your whole life and that you stayed faithful to God your whole life and you kept yourself pure and you got married to the one person that God intended for you to get married to and you built a family for the glory of God. That's one of the greatest testimonies you can have in your life. You don't have to go out and experience the world in order to have a testimony. You have a great testimony just simply by staying faithful to God. My wife has a testimony that I'm envious of. She was raised in church. She was faithful to the house of God. Many of you know Brother Seth Robinson, raised in a preacher's home. Faithful to God. Faithful to his wife. Faithful. Testimony. See, I was a young and dumb teenager. I was in and out of the will of God. I thank God I stayed pure. I was able to go to the marriage altar pure. But there were some things that were experienced as a teenager. I can't get those things back. There's music that was involved with. You can't get rid of that out of your head. Okay? There was filthy communication that was involved with that. You can't get that out of your head. There's scars that you have spiritually that may never heal properly. There's things you will never get back when you leave the will of God. And understand this. When she got back to Bethlehem, Judah, notice the reception that she got. We see the sojourning as in the traveling that took place in the first part of verse 19. But secondly, I want you to notice the surprise at the end of verse 19. At the end of verse 19 here, the Bible says, the city was moved about them and they said, is this Naomi? Now, when you read your Bible, don't miss what you read, okay? Don't miss your Bible when you read your Bible. The people were legitimately shocked at the reception of Naomi. Naomi had left the will of God. She had gone to Moab and 10 years later, when she came back to Bethlehem, she looked like she had been gone for 10 years. Okay? Because the life of sin isn't easy on you. Amen. Because the experiences of the world will take its toll on how you present yourself. On your physical appearance. See, the experiences that she experienced while she was in the world, it took a toll on her physical appearance. It also took a toll on her emotional appearance. The Bible says that she left full and she came back empty. So when you leave the will of God and you come back to the will of God, you spend that time in the world, it'll take its toll physically. It'll take its toll emotionally. But you know what's going to take its toll socially? She left with her family. She came back empty-handed. There were things that she could not regain. And the people, when they looked at her, they literally were saying, is this Naomi? Is this the same Naomi that we knew 10 years ago? And no doubt she was met by old friends. No doubt she was met by old family members. As a matter of fact, she gets to talk to some of her family members in the very next chapter. And here, she's met by different people that are in the city that knew her. They knew the family. They knew the testimony. And when they see her return to the house of God, they're genuinely surprised by what they see. Because they see that sin took its toll. Listen, you may think you're fooling people by living in a life of sin, but it shows. It shows. It will take its toll in your life. When you get overwhelmed and you get overworked in this world, it takes its toll. And the people that are closest to you begin to notice it in your life. Here we see the surprise. Then notice in verse 20, we see the sorrow. She said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. Now Mara means bitter waters. Mara is the name of the area where Moses led the children of Israel, and the waters were bitter, and he had to cut down the tree and throw the tree into the water, and he made sweet tea, amen? He threw the tree into the water, and the Bible says the waters were made sweet. That was the land of Mara. Because Mara means bitter. Here we see sorrow. And she says, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. We also see the situation. She's discouraged. She's bitter. By the way, she wanted people to know that God wasn't blessing her life the way that she wanted Him to. Because when they begin to say, is this Naomi? She immediately met them with, don't call me that. Don't call me that. That's my spiritual name. Call me Mara. Because I'm mad at God. What's that what she says? The Lord had dealt very bitterly with me. Call me bitter. Now listen, when you greet people and they begin to talk to you and you say, don't talk to me like that, just call me bitter. You've gotten far, far, far away from God. And it shows. It shows. I want you to notice also in verse number 21, we see the sorrow. She said, I went out full and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Now here, she wanted to be known by a different name because she was upset with God. She was mad at God. She was bitter. And she told people, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Now, something I find interesting is throughout the rest of this book, never once is she called Mara. She's not. Every time her name is mentioned, it's mentioned as Naomi. Let me give you a truth here, okay? Even though she got bitter, she did not stay bitter. Okay? Listen. Even though she got bitter, she did not stay bitter. Meaning that that did not become her way of operating. That did not become her new lifestyle. When she came to the land of Bethlehem, yes, she came there and she was bitter. She was upset at what God had done. She was upset at the judgment that took place. She was no doubt upset at herself for leaving to begin with. Okay? Understand that. She was upset at absolutely everybody and everything that she could be upset with. Have you ever been there? You're just upset with the world. Okay? And you don't want to talk about what's going on, because if you just talk about it anymore, if somebody mentions it again, you're just going to want to scream. Okay? You ever been there? That's where Naomi is. Overwhelmed. Completely overtaken with the experiences, with everything that's going on. To the point to where she tells everybody she knows, don't even call me Naomi. Have you ever got to the point in your Christian life where somebody's trying to talk to you about something you may be going through and they begin to bring God up and you say, don't even talk about God right now. Have you ever gotten there? Now, don't answer. This is where she was. She had gotten to the point to where she was so distressed. She was so depressed. She was so discouraged. Okay? She was bitter, and she didn't even want to talk about God, which is quite interesting to me, okay? Let me give you my opinion. Okay. When they left Moab, Ruth said, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God." She took a stand. Naomi didn't even want to talk about it, and she just left. Okay? She didn't try to change her mind. On the journey to Bethlehem, you ever go to a new place? Or you're going to a place that you've been before and your kids have never been there? And all they do the whole trip is ask, what's it going to be like? What are we going to do? How's it going to look? What are we going to do first? They're no doubt excited about the trip. Okay? Now picture this with me. Again, I'm sharing you my opinion. During the trip from Moab to Bethlehem, I can imagine that Ruth would have been in Naomi's ear. Hey, we'll talk about the blessings that are there in Bethlehem. Like, how much bread do they have? Like, how much is God blessing? What's all going on there? How is it going to be different? And I know that when your family came here and I fell in love with your son, he talked about a different God and there was a different way of worship, different than what I was taught and what I was accustomed to. How much different is it going to be? Is there going to be a place where we can go and worship that God? Okay? So think with me. This would have been the conversation the whole trip. Okay? Now, Naomi is upset. Naomi's had it up to here already. She's already discouraged. And then to have an excited person in her ear the whole time. Parents, have you ever been there on a road trip? You're like, would you just stop? Go to sleep or something. Do something else. Quit asking me questions. You'll find out when you get there. Right? And you kind of just go off on them. When Naomi and Ruth get to the land, she's had Ruth in her ear the whole time. Again, I'm sharing with you my opinion. She's had Ruth in her ear the whole time. And as soon as she gets there, everyone comes to her and says, wow, is this Naomi? She says, don't even. You don't know what this trip has been like. You ever been like that when you've been on a trip? Don't call me Naomi. And she immediately told them all that she was bitter. Guess what? Ruth already knew that. But Ruth was still asking questions. Ruth was still pursuing that God. Ruth was still interested in what God was going to do. I think it's interesting that all throughout the next three chapters and the rest of this book, never once is she referred to as Mara. Why? Because even though she was bitter, she got over it. Listen, you may not get over being upset about the situation God has you in right now. Okay? But if you stay faithful to God, God will bring you through that. If you stay in the Word of God, if you spend time in prayer, if you spend time in the house of God, if you get around godly people and you get some wise counsel from godly people in your lives, God will help you through that bitterness like God did with Naomi. Now, just because you're going through a tough time, don't turn your back on everything you know. You must go through it. Press forward. In the Christian life, one of the hardest things to learn is sometimes the only way over a trial is through it. Okay? Listen, we're not riding in a jet. You can't just fly above the storms. Sometimes you just got to go through it. Sometimes you just got to press on. Press on. And be busy doing what God's called you to do. You may not always understand the situation. You may not always understand the reasoning for what God is doing. But in the midst of it all, please don't allow your bitterness to keep you from serving God. Amen. Stay in the will of God and let God get you better. Here we see the reception. And then lastly, in verse 22, we see the resources. So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess. By the way, when Ruth is mentioned several times throughout the rest of the book, she's mentioned as the Moabitess, meaning that people never forgot that she came from a pagan land. Now listen, Ruth did not let the way people received her keep her from pursuing after a relationship with God. And in your Christian life, you can't let the perception of other people keep you from walking with God. Here, people in Bethlehem could have said, "Oh, that's just Ruth the Moabitess. She's just a pagan anyway. That's where she came from. I'm not going to give her a chance. I know what she used to be." There's some times, and there's been people in my Christian life, Brother Thoreau, yours as well, where people will bring up the past. "I remember what you used to be. I remember how you used to live. I remember the things you used to do." And they may not respect you for the things that you're doing. Now listen, they're going to have to answer to God for that. But you can't let their lack of showing the love of Christ keep you from walking with God. Ruth didn't let the fact that people still called her the Moabitess keep her from pursuing a relationship with God. And in your Christian life, you can't let the fact that people are going to bring up your past, people are going to bring up your failures. And by the way, the only reason that people are going to do that is because they're jealous of what God's doing in your life. I'll say it again. The only reason people keep bringing up your past and keep bringing up your failures is because they're jealous of what God is doing in your life. And so the only way they can cope with that is they've got to cut you down because you're walking with God. Does that make sense? So they try to attack you because they can't attack your God. All the while, they don't realize they're being a puppet of the devil. They're being used by the devil to try to discourage you, to try to keep you from serving God. Ruth doesn't let the fact that people did not receive her well keep her from pursuing God. The reception was Naomi wanted to still be bitter. Ruth wanted a better relationship. But people still called her Naomi and people still called Ruth the Moabitess. Meaning they were willing to receive Naomi, but they had their flags up on Ruth. They weren't sure how this was going to go. And I want to encourage you, especially those of you that have been saved for a short period of time, please, whatever you do, do not let the lack of genuine Christianity push you away from those that are trying to show true Christianity. There's going to be times, Brother Brandon, you and I have talked about this, there's going to be times where you're going to be on vacation, you're going to visit other churches, and other people may not view you in the right manner or in the right light of things. Please, please don't allow that to discourage you from walking with God. Understand that they don't realize what they're doing, and there's ignorance on their part, and God's going to judge them for the way that they receive you or don't receive you. But we are going to be responsible for what we do with God. Okay? And we're going to be responsible for whether or not we continue to pursue after God. Yes, I can imagine for Ruth, it would have been difficult to constantly be reminded of her past. You say, "Well, why do you think that?" Well, what about you? Do you like it when people always bring up your past? No, we don't. Do you like it when people always bring up your failures? Do you like it when people always bring up what you used to be before you got saved? No, we don't like that at all. So I can imagine that Ruth, when she had this reception from others, "Oh, that's just Ruth the Moabitess." People constantly brought up what she used to be. She does not let that determine whether or not she pursues after God. And that leads us to verse 22, our resources. I'll go back to reading it. "So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem." Notice the end of the verse. "In the beginning of barley harvest." This is the resources that we get to. This is where the story begins to get really good. All right? Now, never underestimate the potential that you have in Christ. You see, when they got to Bethlehem, Judah, it was the beginning of barley harvest. Barley harvest was the time for the Jews where they would take in all the reaping, and those even that didn't have much, they would come and they would glean the corners of the field so that everybody had something. So here we're going to begin to see the resources come to play. And Ruth, who had left the pagan land, Ruth, who had left Moab, and she never had anything to her name. She never had anything that she could claim. She never had anything she could be proud of. She came to Bethlehem, Judah, and it was time for the barley harvest. It was time for her to get something. It was time for her to have a blessing. And that's what we're going to get to this next, on Wednesday night. You're going to like it. Here, never underestimate the potential that you have in Christ. You see, when you come to God, it's just the beginning of the harvest time. It's just the beginning of what God's going to do in your heart and of what God's going to do in your life. Listen, you may think that you're washed up and you may think that your best years may be behind you. But friend, let me tell you, when you come to Christ and you come to the will of God in your life, the best is yet to come. And God has so much for you in your life. Here we have the beginning of barley harvest. It's the beginning. And now the possibilities are endless. You see, Ruth, she doesn't come at the end of barley harvest. She comes at the beginning. She doesn't come at the end of the blessings that everybody else got. She came at the perfect time to receive the manifold blessings of God. And see, in your Christian life, we talk about divine timing. God brought you to Him at the perfect time for you to receive everything God has for you. And that's what we see about Ruth here. And we're going to see the story get better and better. In chapter number 2, we're going to get to our redemption being in Christ. We've dealt a lot with relationships in chapter 1. But we're about to get to the redemption part. And here, Ruth shows up just in time. The possibilities are endless. I want you to understand, Cornerstone Baptist Church, there's a lot of things God's doing in our midst. But right now, it's not the end of barley harvest. Right now, it's the beginning. Right now, we're beginning to see everything that God is beginning to do. The blessings aren't over with yet. The blessings are just starting. Listen, God's working in our lives. He's not finished yet. He's just beginning. And I can't overstress the importance of it being the beginning of the barley harvest. And in your Christian life, never think that God is finished with you. Because right now it's just the beginning. Right now, there's so much God wants to do in our lives. There's so much God wants to do in our church. And there's so much that God wants to do in each and every one of us individually. But we've got to understand it's the beginning of barley harvest. Now listen, that doesn't mean that the blessings are just going to come. In barley harvest, they had to work. If you've ever harvested anything, you know there's work that's involved. Amen, brother. There's work that's involved. And you're going to see the fruit of your labor. And you're going to get a reward for the work that is being done. But understand, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. And here in your Christian life, God's about to do something great in your church. God's about to do something great in your life. But understand, it's just a drop in the bucket of what God can do. Listen, we saw God bless in these last few months. On old-fashioned Sunday, we had 93. Just a couple of weeks after that, we had 89. Now, we've been low these last few weeks due to some sickness and traveling, this and that and the other. But listen, I'm not going to get discouraged because we've seen a little bit of what God can do. We've seen a drop in the bucket of the beginning of the harvest. We've seen a little bit of what God can do in our midst. We've seen a little bit of how God can work. We've seen how God's bringing families in. And we've seen how folks have gotten saved. And we've seen how we've had some baptism water stirred. And we've seen what God can do. But guess what? God's not done. God's got more people He wants to see baptized this year. God's got more people He wants to see get saved this year. As a matter of fact, God's got more people He wants to see join the church this year. God's just now beginning. It's the beginning of barley harvest. These are our resources. Stand with me with heads bowed, with eyes closed. Here, they get to Bethlehem, Judah. And now, they get to the place where they got all the dreams. They get to the place where they've got all the ambitions. They get to the place where they're looking forward to all the blessings that God's going to give them. See, in your Christian life, don't ever get over the possibilities of what God can do with you in your life. Don't ever get over the fact that God's got a plan for you. See, in your life, it's the beginning of barley harvest. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God.